We all know what it's like to feel as if life is spinning out of control. That diagnosis we didn't see coming. The child who has walked away from the faith. Or the circumstances we simply can't fix. This week, Tommy and Doug talk about a doctrine that initially sounds blandly academic, but is in fact deeply practical. The sovereignty of God. They dig into what it means to say that God is in control. Why that truth alone, disconnected from his love and wisdom, cannot comfort us, and how figures like David and Job point us to hope in the middle of real pain. Here is episode 99 of Imprint Out Loud.
Imprint Out Loud is the audio podcast of Imprint, which exists to leave a healthy mark on the church in Africa through trustworthy biblical resources and training of local church leaders.
Everyone, welcome to Imprint Out Loud. We are welcoming Doug. Doug, welcome.
Good to be back.
Doug, today we're going to jump into a bit of theology. I know that we referred to, I think it's Martin Lloyd-Jones' book on depression a couple of episodes ago.
Yeah.
And this morning I was just chatting with someone and I quoted that book again when he said that he believes a lot of people can't counsel themselves because they don't know theology. And this person that I was engaging with, I counseled a little bit, and I thought, man, I think this person should read a book on the sovereignty of God, because they struggle with control, they struggle with some just things out of their control, and then their life spins out.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to just lay a foundation on what the sovereignty of God is, one, some text verses that backs that up, and then maybe flesh it out practically how, like for instance, your child is not saved, how can the sovereignty of God comfort you? Or you get diagnosed with an illness, how does the sovereignty of God help you in those moments? Or things are out of your control. You just can't, it's not your fault, but it's out of your control. How does the sovereignty of God play into that in your day-to-day living?
Okay.
Yeah. Sovereignty of God.
So let me, I'm tell you a story, okay?
Go
so back in about 1981, I was visiting my grandmother in near Chicago, and I went to a Christian used bookstore in Merrillville, Indiana. And I was looking through all these books. I just started into the studies for the ministry. I was excited about learning. And I came across, I was actually really discouraged because there was this woman that I was in love with that I really thought I should marry. She didn't see things the same way. I was just devastated. And I saw this book called Spiritual Depression, Its Causes and Cure. And I thought, I feel depressed. I'm going to buy it. That was my introduction to Martin Lloyd-Jones. And since then, I have read thousands of pages of his works. But that book really helped me.
Mm.
And in that book, he really drives home the sovereignty of God, that Christians need to embrace who God is, that he loves us, that he cares for us. And he really drives home from Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, not to listen to yourself, but to preach truth to yourself.
Mm.
So I do think whatever you're going through as a Christian, the sovereignty of God is a great comfort that we need to preach to ourselves.
Mm.
So if I was asked to define the sovereignty of God, I would say that, I could put it this way, that he has absolute control of everything.
Mm.
But just pure sovereignty doesn't give you comfort if you don't know the other attributes of God.
Mm.
So he's wise, he's loving, he's just.
Mm.
And as a Christian, he is my father. And if my father has absolute control of everything, he's all wise, he's all loving.
Mm.
I preach that truth to myself. It helps me in whatever trial I'm going through.
Mm. That's really helpful. Just to think of, it's not just he controls everything.
Yeah.
But linking that with the other attributes, that's really, that's something new to me that I didn't know. That, okay, so he's in control of everything, and I'm his child, and he is loving.
Right.
So if something is out of my control, he's still my father.
Right.
I can leave it with him.
Yeah.
Right. That's really helpful.
So think about it, in the Old Testament, you have kings who were sovereign. Think of Nebuchadnezzar. You know, what he said went. But you didn't trust Nebuchadnezzar because of the rest of his character.
Yeah.
So that's where I think that sovereignty doesn't give you comfort in itself.
Mm.
It's got to be attached to the other attributes of God.
Mm. And again, that's where Martin Lloyd-Jones is helpful, where he says if you understand theology, which I taught in my family Bible hour class on Sunday, this past Sunday, which is just beautiful. Theology is not just the study of God, it's logic. So studying God, making it logic, you can understand him.
Right.
And that's the thing of it. Sovereignty is not just rule and reign. It's how he reigns and why he would do certain things or allow certain things.
Right.
So his character more than just the rule of Nebuchadnezzar, the kingly rule. Yeah.
By the way, let me finish the story. I married that woman. Okay. Doesn't always work out that way, but it worked out for me. Okay.
That's good. After you read the book?
Yeah, after I read the book.
Do you still have the
book? I still went through some depression after that, but it all worked out.
That's good. That's good. Maybe just from those Psalms that you quoted, Psalm 42 and 43, is it? Maybe just lift up a couple of things out of there to show the sovereignty of God.
Yeah. So David writes, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" As Gareth pointed out last night in the sermon, it's Elohim. He's the creator. He's the sovereign Lord. "My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God?" Mm. So David's being taunted by others. Sometimes we're taunted by by the devil, by our own minds, our wrong thoughts. Where is your God? He says, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festivals." So he remembers former days of worship. Then he says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" He's talking to himself. Mm. "And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. Mm. For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." Hope in God. Who's he hoping in? Mm. He's hoping in the sovereign Lord.
Yeah, that's good. One other one?
Psalm 43 is almost verbatim. That phrase comes up, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" Yeah, I think, if you're looking for passages that deal with the sovereignty of God, Scripture's just filled with it. Mm. So even Psalm 23, a familiar psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Well, why is that? Well, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Mm. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Mm. But who's doing that? It's the sovereign Lord.
Yeah.
So I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm looking to the sovereign Lord who loves me, who cares for me, and I can trust him in that.
Yeah. I was thinking of Colossians 1:16-17. "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Mm. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together."
Yeah. I am the Alpha and the Omega.
Yeah.
Revelation 5, 4 and 5. Psalm 115, really denouncing the idols.
Yeah.
That everything exists for God and God's alone, God's glory alone.
Yeah. Psalm 115, verse 3, "Our God is in heaven, he does whatever pleases him."
Yes, yes. Yeah.
So that's a good one as well.
Yeah.
So he's in control.
He's in control.
Job, you've preached through Job before.
Yeah.
That's a good whole book on the sovereignty of God.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, Job was tormented with, "Is God still my friend?" I think that's the whole thing there.
Yeah.
I think Job was like, "God has been my friend." Mm, mm. Is this how God treats his friends? Mm. And it's interesting how God never answers Job's questions. Mm. He just reveals himself afresh. Mm. By what? Creation. Yeah. Where were you when I made this? Where were you when I set the stars in heaven? And so by emphasizing his sovereignty, Job at the end just says, "Now I've seen."
Yeah.
"And, I repent in dust and ashes." Mm. No questions answered. But, I've seen God. Mm. He's good. He's sovereign. Mm. I can trust him. Mm.
That's interesting. It just reminded me of several episodes. It's kind of a repeated theme here. Especially we taught together in the counseling course on our shepherd school, where we just keep on repeating, you don't necessarily need the answers, except the one answer is look to Christ, look to God, look who he is. His character will reveal stuff, satisfy you. It's all there. It reminds me of Philippians 4:7-9, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, there is any excellence, if there is any worthy of praise, think of these things. So it's a mind thing of reminding yourself, right?
Right.
What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you.
Mm.
Which is just so what is this? Whatever is true, think of these things.
Right.
I believe it's not just whatever is true in the situation. It's whatever is true of God.
Right. So. And I think it's where Job started off well, right? Mm-hmm. In chapter 1, he ends, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, acknowledging his sovereignty, mm-hmm. but also his goodness. Mm-hmm. So he says, blessed be the name of the Lord. So mm-hmm. he starts off submitting to that sovereignty quite well.
Mm-hmm.
And when his wife says, curse God and die,
mm-hmm.
he says, you sound like the foolish woman. He said, should we not receive good as well mm-hmm. as bad at mm-hmm. God's hands? Because mm-hmm. he understood something of the character of God. But the pain became so intense that he started listening to himself and listening to some really bad counselors who he was defensive against.
Yeah.
And I think that's where Psalm 42 comes in. Hope in God. Speak truth. Mm. Right now, don't let the circumstances become my instructor in theology, but let the Bible remind me of who God is.
So if you work through all of this, what we've just said, sovereignty of God means ruling, reigning, but that you can't disconnect from his other attributes, love, gentleness, omniscience, omnipresence, all of those.
Right.
And you need to apply that thought then to your situation.
Right.
Secondly, you should not listen to your feelings, which we all love to do, right?
Right.
Or the situation dictates, or you listen to the accuser's words, whether it's physical or Satan, whoever's accusing you of something, then you're not listening to wise counsel, which Job is guilty of there. So maybe just flesh that out practically. Like, okay, so we need to know the sovereignty, which is God is in control of all things, that you can't...
Don't divorce that from his other characteristics.
And you need to remind yourself of that in light of, instead of listening to feelings, people, accusers.
Yeah. So I think part of it is, as a Christian, realizing God's sovereign purpose.
Mm. Hmm.
So what is the sovereign purpose for us? It's to conform us to the image of his Son, the hope of glory, which is all through the book of Romans, the hope of glory. So we keep that in mind. So when I have a situation that's very difficult, my feelings say, God's punishing you. My feelings say, might lie to me and say, God is against you. When I preach the gospel to myself, remind myself that no, if God gave his Son for me, then he will do whatever is necessary for me to become like him. So that's why I can quote Romans 8:28 to myself, that all things work together for good to those who love God, those called according to his purpose. What's his purpose? To make me like his Son. So I think keeping in mind God's character, God's sovereign purpose, it helps me when the lies start coming. I mean, very well, God might be chastening me. That's not a lie. But I say, even in this, God is good, and he's bringing me to repentance. And when, you know, the world, the flesh, the devil says, you should despair. No, God has a purpose. And he's sovereign. Right now, it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to get across Galilee, but I do have the Lord with me, and he's going to get me there one way or the other. He's going to calm the storm. He's going to get me to the other side. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think you've said it before as well, where it's great to read your Bible, which it is, but to focus on these things, like I think of Abraham. I mean, go.
Yeah.
Go where, Lord? I mean, okay, right. I'm going. Joseph. With his brothers, David. I mean, focusing on those characters in light of the sovereignty of God.
Right.
And we know the end story. They didn't.
Yeah.
But see their faithfulness just tracking through the whole process and remind them yourself, hey, you're not Joseph. You might think you're there, but you're not close to what he went through. And look at his faithfulness. Just, I mean, we only know parts of his story, but
Right.
The Bible does say the whole faithfulness thing.
So just tagging on that, Martin Lloyd-Jones also said this, that when he was discouraged, he found the book of Acts to be a tonic for his soul. And I understand that, because as you're reading the book of Acts, they're up against an impossible situation, and yet the gospel advances. God does wonderful things there. So I think looking at Scripture and saying these things are written as an example to give us hope Romans 15:4. So reading scripture meaningfully and realizing who God is, what he's done, what he's promised to do, and hanging on to that.
Let's quickly switch to more practical things, and I'm thinking of a hypothetical thing here. Let's say you receive a bad email. How do you go through all of this?
Well, I have
Whether it's health accusations or...
I have a 24-hour rule. So if I get a letter like that, I don't respond for 24 hours because every time I responded before then, I've regretted it. Yeah. It's usually not been a right response. So I want to work through an email. I want to think through it. I want to realize God is sovereign. And in this email, even if I feel like the issues being raised aren't fair, I need to look at it and say, what is God teaching me here? There might be a kernel of truth or more than a kernel of truth in it. But look at that and say, okay, God knows about this. Don't despair. Be careful when you respond. You reflect the character of God. But I think in all of that, again, I'm looking at God's going to use this for my good, going to use it for the good of his church in some way. So, yeah, responding that this didn't come by an accident, by accident.
Because of the sovereignty.
Because of the sovereignty of God.
And then the character comes,
his sovereign purpose.
Yeah. You get a bad diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
You've been there.
Yeah.
How do you work through that?
Yeah, I think the same thing. I remember when I had this problem a few years ago, and I said to Jill, because there had been a medical mishap, and I said, you know, we said we're not going to go down the road of blaming. We're not going to go down the road of suing somebody. This has all happened in the sovereignty of God. We need to learn from this and trust him through this. Yeah, I think you get a diagnosis of cancer. And you say, well, what is God's purpose in this? And again, you don't know. He may heal you.
Yeah.
He may not, but you do know that he's good. And he only gives good gifts, even though the trial's painful.
Losing loved ones right after each other, losing a child, similar.
That's painful.
Yeah.
Again, I think that's where it's really tough. And I've mentioned this recently somewhere that we had that happen to one of our families in the church. And I'll never forget the father saying at the funeral, quoting Job, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And he did that with tears and heartache. But that is, it's not being stoic. It's not just being fatalistic. It's saying, as hard as this is, I know that God somehow has... a plan here. What is best for my son who has died, and what is best for us as a family.
Yeah, so just wrestling and reminding yourself of
those truths. Yeah,
God is in control, but he's still loving. He knows what he's doing, and it's for his glory and for my ultimate good to grow in his likeness.
I do want to say this. I think that I said this in another context recently, that maybe on a podcast, or I'm not sure, but I rarely quote Romans 8:28 to somebody who's just gotten a bad diagnosis or going through some grief. They're not in a position to hear that. Sometimes just being with them is important. But eventually you need to help Christians see, you realize that God is going to use this for his glory and for your good, and hang on to that.
Yeah, I can't remember where I read it. It was in a book, and he pushed back on that as well, where he said, if you use it in the wrong time, it can sound like a spiritual shut up.
Yeah.
Stop complaining. God is in control. And you're like, hang on a second.
Right.
Can we just talk about this?
Yeah.
That's helpful. Thanks, Doug. Anything else to add that you want to?
Yeah. I think you mentioned earlier about, what if you have unbelieving children? How do you trust the sovereignty of God there? I think you cling to the sovereignty of God. I think as Christian parents, you cling to the sovereignty of God and say, God, please save our child. You have the ability to do that. I think there's great comfort. If I didn't believe in the sovereignty of God, I would have no hope for evangelism. Or I would try to manipulate people, because it's all up to me. But the fact that God is the one who saves gives me encouragement. Keep preaching, keep praying. You never know what God is going to do. So you can trust him again in his goodness.
That's good. Well, thanks, Doug. Appreciate your wisdom.
Pleasure.
Send us some more questions and we'll discuss them. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Until next time.
Help further the work of Imprint by sharing this podcast with someone who might benefit from it. or by rating and reviewing it in your favorite podcast catcher. Visit imprinton.org for more resources and information about the ministry.